Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Mac Brown is going to take the Sealands Grove job. No?
No. Not that I'm aware of.
Might be available.
I guess here's the thing that really, I don't know, disturbs me, may not be the right word, about this Texas situation. The guy's on a recruiting trip. And all of a sudden, it leaks out that that there's going to be a new coach in Texas. Is that handled poorly?
Okay, let me put it this way: do we know he's recruiting trip? Does he text back? He's on a recruiting trip.
Yes, he did text back.
He'll give you a location.
He did text back that he was on a recruiting trip.
He could have texted from Austin.
I suppose, but. I guess
what do you suppose? I mean, I texted you today. Where did I text you from? State College or Pittsburgh?
Well, I get, what does it matter? If you're saying you're on a recruiting trip, why would you make something like that
up?
Oh,
come on. You can white lie your way. You know what?
But why would he? What benefit
is
that?
Okay. Can I explain why?
Please do.
Okay. If you're in his position, let's say it's true. I would prefer my team hear it from me than from the media. I would prefer to walk in and tell them I'm leaving face-to-face with the group, man-to-man, instead of having them hear it through the media.
Okay, I can see that.
That's why. I mean, these things happen, okay? What they know that, you know, his support system when DeLoss Dodds no longer was the athletic director at Texas, that was part of the support system that Mac Brown had. When you are looking at Texas, has resources that most schools don't have, and let's start with this fact. Number one, being the University of Texas. They'll get a lot of football revenue. Now, Penn State gets a lot of football revenue, too. A ton. Being the university, and they also get a little bit more TV money out of the Big 12 based on the arrangement than other Big 12 schools. That's one of the reasons why you saw Nebraska leave the Big 12 for the Big 10, because of the inequity. Longhorn Network has not taken off, so that really doesn't figure into this, because the Longhorn Network, to my knowledge, is not making a profit yet. So that doesn't figure in just yet. Also, men's basketball at Texas makes money. And then here's the next part. Texas alums, many of them have struck it rich in oil. They're awash in cash and natural gas money. Then the next part, if you're the athletic director at Texas, you don't have some of the other problems most athletic departments have. They have 14 sports at Texas. So when they get all that money from football, they get their profit money from men's basketball. They're not spreading it all over the place in order to make sure that 31, 32, 33, 34 sports are taken care of. Ohio State has 34 sports. Penn State has 31. So they have 17 fewer sports than Penn State to take care of. The radio contract deal is huge. By the way, Penn State's radio contract deal is also a very big number per year. People forget about that part. We work in it. We know how it works in that realm. I mean, you know, some of the money goes to athletics, some of the money goes to coaches' salaries as that bump. That's how you end up getting coaches making X amount of million per year, but then you look at what the base salary is from the athletic department, you're like, wow, where's the other money come from? The other money comes from TV and radio. Well, at Texas, they can afford to do a lot of this, and they can afford to pay whomever's the head coach there a rather significant sum because their money goes back into the football program. They don't have to give it to pick one of 17 sports. I mean, that's one of the items that a lot of people don't realize. Because Texas, for example, there had been some talk for a period of time. Remember all that talk? Texas might go to the Big Ten, might go to the Big Ten. And that was one of the things I pointed out. I said, you know, Texas is going to take whatever money the Big Ten gives it, and they're going to be swimming in it. Why? Because they don't have the other sports to put it into. Why do you think Robert Morris dropped seven sports and Temple dropped seven sports? They don't have the TV and radio revenue, either what they negotiated or from their conference, that can make a difference and save the sports. And I know you hate talking about this.
Well, it's just the reality of sports anymore, that's all.
Yeah, I mean, sports is a business. Even though I just went through this entire deal about student athletes and scholarships, there also is obviously a business component to it. And there's another reality is only two sports end up making money. And football and men's basketball. That's why I'm constantly talking about the importance of reinvesting in those two sports. And I know wrestling just had a huge day in the Jordan Center. 15,996. So I know there are a lot of wrestling fans out there saying, hey, how come you're not including wrestling and making money? It doesn't make money. They run losses. And they aren't small losses either. You're not talking about a couple hundred thousand. It's more than that. And that's just a fact and reality of life. I mean, take the 15,996 they announced in the Jordan. I think the drop count, the physical count, was actually 11,500. But they still sold 15,996 tickets, okay, which broke the record by 41. Now expect Iowa when Penn State goes out there to then get 16,004. We know how the game's played. But, you know, they still had to pay rent to go into the Jordan Center and things like that. There's a lot of things that go into this that, you know, when you don't have a TV or radio contract that's paying you money, that keeps you from making money. And it's just a reality. And you look at Texas, they have 14 sports. I think it's awesome Penn State has 31, but you have to pay for 31 as well. I'm saying that Texas keeps a lot of its money, and they're awash in cash, so they can go out and they can pay a coach. They can pay somebody. Whether it's Jim Harbaugh, Nick Saban, Mike Tomlin, Greg Gattuso, whomever. My point is they've got the cash to do it. And they got lots of cash. They are awash in cash. Now, the Longhorn Network thing has not paid off yet the way they thought it would. It's not going that well for whatever reason. Now, part of it is they tried to do a couple things with the Longhorn Network that they weren't allowed to do, justifiably so. They wanted to carry a high school football package on Friday night. Look, the Longhorn Network, despite being run by ESPN, is still the Longhorn Network. You can't put high school games on the Longhorn Network. To me, that's a recruiting violation. It's a loose definition of it, but still a recruiting violation. It'd be like having, remember years ago here at Penn State, they wanted to put out do Lion Vision? It'd be like putting on Sealands Grove playing Danville on Lion Vision on a Friday night.
Yeah, I can't see how that would work.
You know, But I'm saying, though, that's like the Penn State stamp of approval on your game and blah, blah, blah. You know, and what? I'm going to put – I have Lion Vision, and say, for example, Selins Grove has just a dynamic running back. Well, suddenly out of nowhere, that dynamic running back makes, oh, I don't know, three Friday night appearances on the on Lion Vision?
The
it's
only
like
argument...
having a great running back in Tyler, Texas, for example, okay? And Texas really wants the dude, and suddenly Tyler ends up being on the Longhorn Network three times. Really? Really? And you're sitting at Texas Tech saying, are you kidding me?
The only argument you could make there is, and I'm not sure off the top of my head who owns the Longhorn Network, but if it were not owned,
ESPN.
Okay, well, ESPN, you could make the argument that is not owned by the University of Texas. That's about the only way you could do that. The only argument you could make for it, rather.
Kevin, the Longhorn Network is affiliated with Texas.
That's true. It's not like the Big Ten Network that's affiliated with Big Ten teams or Big Ten schools. This is one school.
One school. I mean, in other words, they're constantly doing one interview after another. That's one of the things Mac Brown complained about mildly last year. He said, every time I turn around, I have to stop and do another Longhorn Network interview. And after every practice, they're interviewing somebody. I mean, it's like access all the time because they're trying to create all this programming around them. And believe me, you know, part of the profit structure is the University of Texas is supposed to get part of the profit structure, okay? Like a rights fee. By the way, Blake Bortles of UCF was named the American Conference Player of the Year. He beat out Teddy Bridgewater of Louisville. We're here at Consol Energy, Penn State Duquesne tonight. Now, fear not. I know that we have a 7 o'clock tip, which would mean a 6:30 airtime in the network. But Santa will not be interrupted. This dates back to 1933 on this station. And Santa's on Monday through Friday, right up to and including Christmas Eve.
And by the way,
we will not.
I understand Santa looked at his big book, and you got a great big gold star, Steve. So good news for you.
What did I get a gold star for? Because I recognize that Santa is on the air?
Yes. Yes.
Hello. I love Santa. But you know what? Years ago, and this is not a story time with Steve. This just relates to what we're talking about.
I was just about ready, so I'm glad you said that.
No. I remember that we would have on a station I worked for in State College. This is back in the 80s. Had Santa on, I think, twice before Christmas. And at the time, I had young children, so they wanted me to co-host because, look, I mean, the bottom line is, you know, especially at that stage of my life, I knew what all the toys were. Okay, so to kind of help him out along the way. And I remember the response to it. And the response was wonderful, touching, loving, hopeful. And it was a really neat thing, you know, to listen to young people call up, talk to Santa, ask for Santa what they wanted, what they wished for, what they hoped they might find on a Christmas morning. And the fact that this station does this and has done it for 80 years, I mean, 80 years. Think of those young children in the Depression who would call the station and ask Santa for a gift, or those in World War II, or those in the 60s, all the way up until now. It's a tradition that continues on that I think is a very, very special tradition. And I am more than happy to say, hey, while we're doing the pregame show, Santa will be on listening to what you want. I think that is a neat thing. And also, one more note, whatever you can do to help out the Needy Family Fund, please do. Our goal this year is $75,000. I'm sorry to say that common sense tells you the need is greater than ever. And believe me, people who get assistance from the needy family fund are aching and begging not to want the assistance, but they know they have to. And it's awfully hard. Think about, put yourself in their shoes for a moment and how tough it is to not want it, to have the pride to not accept it, but also to know that, you know what, maybe this will help me out just enough, our family just enough. And by the way, don't stretch your budget to do it. Whatever fits your budget is the most important part. And there's no difference. If I give X amount and Kevin gives three times as much, believe me, each gift is equal. Because one may be able to afford more than somebody else. So never, never think, well, I only gave. Take out the word only. Because the most important part is that you did give. We'll come back with more from Consol Energy here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. Like a 2010 Chevy Equinox Limited, the most affordable crossover, just $22,996. 2010 Ford Explorer XLT, new tires, new brake linings, just $21,997. A Pontiac Touring GXP, four-wheel drive, peace of mind, $15,554. 2011 Hyundai Sonata Limited, fully serviced, $17,498. And a sporty, like new, Subaru Impreza sedan, under 8,000 miles. Lowest price promise, $27,495. Call 570-286-7746. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
But baby, it's cold outside. But baby, it's cold outside. Been hoping that you drop in.
Yes, the Super Bowl, which will be played February 2nd in New Jersey. Whoever thought you'd have those words in the same sentence? Super Bowl in New Jersey.
Nah. I love it.
Not even Tony Soprano. Not even Tony Soprano would have said that. Well, here are the TV ratings. You're going to love this.
Okay.
What was the number one show last week?
The live version of Sound of Music.
No, it was number two. Number one show for the week?
No.
Again, Sunday Night Football.
Okay, Sunday Night. I was going to say, please tell me it's not Thursday Night Football.
No. No. Sunday Night Football was the number one show for the week. Right. Right. And then Sound of Music was second. I think the NFL was in the 19s, and Sound of Music was 18.6. Now let's go to cable. What was the number one show on cable last week?
Thursday Night Football.
No, Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football. I keep forgetting it's on ESPN.
Seahawks and Saints, right? Hey, that was number one. That had over a 15 rating. Now, what was the number two rated show for the week?
Well, I know Thursday had a 14 rating.
Jacksonville and Houston was the number two rated show on all of cable last week. The Jaguars and the Texans. Okay, once again repeating, the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Houston Texans were the number two rated TV show on cable last week.
Where did the WWE finish?
Combining for five wins. Jacksonville. Now, I know Houston's the number five market in the country. Jacksonville. Really? Can you believe that? That's sad.
Well, you know, I want to get back to the Super Bowl because there were some interesting polls that came out recently. Will the Super Bowl, if it snows, affect your enjoyment of the game? 57% said they would enjoy it more. If the Super Bowl was always in a warm climate or in dome stadiums, would you be happy or not? 71% said it should not be in a warm weather or dome stadium. I thought that was interesting. And how much of an advantage would it be for a cold weather city to have a team over a team from a warm weather city play in the Super Bowl? 52% said it would be a significant advantage. Those were some fun stats from NFL fans, I thought.
Well, I would say one of the fun things is that that really hurts your Steeler-Dolphins argument.
It did not work out well, did it? I like the fact that it may snow at the Super Bowl. I'm for it.
Well, the Eagles game, I bet if you took that poll after the Eagles game, I think the poll would have been results would have been higher.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. From Consol Energy, where tonight Penn State takes on Duquesne. Dukes come in at 3-3. They have transformed the roster. Nine guys that were on this roster last year that Penn State played at the Jordan Center, no longer here. Some of the one kid who transferred from UAB is the leading scorer and rebounder. He actually was on the roster last year, but he sat out because of the transfer. McCoy, the center, went to Rhode Island originally. Junior college, then here. Mason, one of the guards who comes off the bench, who averages 8 points a game, he went to Drake and then transferred here and was able to be eligible right away. That's how they've transformed the roster. Jim Ferry's a really good coach. He took LIU Brooklyn to the NCAA tournament. And, for example, he had a game against North Carolina in the opening round 1 year. He took them deep into the game. I mean, deep. I'm talking about North Carolina's holding on. Guy's a really good coach. Great guy. Had a chance to talk to him at Coaches versus Cancer. His daughter goes to Penn State. And Jim's just a heck of a coach. Great guy. And this will be, you'll expect Duquesne to play a little more zone tonight. Penn team back. It's on the road, so they have to have that road mentality. But in terms of the better team, the better talent, the better team, the better talent's Penn State. The question is, on the road, winning here tonight. Can't take anything for granted. Then we'll start talking about the rec hall thing.
Steve, I'm still interested in this, the Super Bowl parking situation.
Well, you're going to be in your driveway, I mean, and probably in your house.
Well, there's...
Now, you and I point out, though, we have put in for Super Bowl Media Day.
Yes.
We have put in for Super Bowl Media Day. We have put in for that that week leading into the game. I think it's the Tuesday leading into the game. We have put in to be on Media Row. We're still waiting whether we can or not. But remember, we've now been on Media Row for the Pocono 400. We've been on Media Row for the U.S. Open Golf Championship. How many different venues have we done this show from just this year alone? We're here in Pittsburgh at Consol Energy right now. So believe me, we've been trying to take the show to as many big events as possible along the way. And so, you know, with the Super Bowl being in New Jersey, we're taking our shot to be on Media Row. And it's not like we don't have contacts that could possibly pull it off for us. We'll leave it at that, okay?
Just as long as we get a parking pass.
Well, it's not going to be in Giant Stadium.
No. I know that.
I believe Super Bowl Media Day is going to be at The Rock. So... Those who don't know what The Rock is, the Rock, by the way, is the Prudential Center where the New Jersey Devils play.
Yeah, we were just talking about during the news there a few seconds ago. There's 24,000 parking spaces in the 14 lots surrounding the stadium, about another 5,000 spaces in adjacent lots east of the stadium. Here's where I think they have some issues, because I'm hearing reports that you won't be able to walk to the stadium. So let's say the parking passes are all gone and you want to go to the Super Bowl. You can't walk even from your hotel to get to the Super Bowl. You have to pay maybe another $51 to take this Fan Express that'll pick you up and drop you off at a bunch of different locations, which I assume will include the game itself. The other problem is you can't take a taxi. You can't rent a limo.
Do you know how hard it is to walk? Like, say you stay at the Sheraton Meadowlands. Okay? Do you know how hard it is to walk from there to the stadium?
I would think it's much longer than I really typically walk. That's not far anyway, but yeah.
But Kev, it's not the length. There's not a footbridge that goes over Route 3. That's actually a safety issue. There's not a footbridge that goes over Route 3 that connects the hotel over to the parking lot.
I can see parking passes for this game being worth more than the ticket to the game itself, Steve. I mean, I can really, really see that eventually the parking pass is actually going to be a little bit more valuable on StubHub and different places like that than actually the Super Bowl ticket itself. I mean, I'm looking forward to a game being played nearby. Because let's face it, there's not often that we have a Super Bowl played this close. But I'm not sure how anyone is going to be able to get to this game.
Oh, with the bus? I mean, they have an entire bus and transit system set up. First of all, you have 13,000 parking spaces. 13,000 parking spaces. Let's say half of them have two people in it and half of them have four in it, okay? So take three times, whatever, 40,000, 13, instead of 1,000 fans. So half of those in the stadium will be able to park around the stadium. All right? You're with me so far?
I'm there. Mathematically, I'm with you.
Okay, that means the other half have to do what you're talking about. Take the mass transit system to get in. So between 40 and 50,000 fans, because let's face it, with the parking situation the way it is, most vehicles are going to have four people in it, right?
You would think so, yeah. You're definitely going to try and get as many people as you can.
Right. So 52,000 fans in a 13,000 lot. That's 52,000 fans out of 82,000 can park in the lots. So now it's the mass transit for the other 30,000. And the heck with walking over, why do you want to walk over?
I wouldn't want to walk over that highway.
Believe me. Yeah, and it's more, but that's just one hotel, Kev. I mean, you know, over in Hasbrook Heights, for example, there are other hotels, but they aren't really that close to the stadium. There just aren't that many hotels that close to the stadium. And the way the transit system is around there, the park is giant.
Well, the one thing that you won't be able to do, really, is have your hotel take you off or drop you off at the stadium either. They could take you to one of the transit locations, but that's going to be your only option. It's not like the hotels can say, hey, park here, stay here for another $50, we'll take you to the game. That may not work well either.
You're talking about this affects 30,000 fans.
Well, that's true. I mean, you got to keep in mind it's not a college football game where there's 100,000 fans. That's a good point. That's a very good point.
It's an 82,000-seat stadium. Now, I don't know if they're selling 82,000 seats or not. I don't know whether some seats are allocated for, although the press box there is pretty big, so I don't know if they have to have an overflow media area. They might. They might have an overflow media area, but whatever. That knocks out, 500 to 1,000 seats. Imagine being in the overflow media area, and it's like 17 degrees.
Especially if they have the Jerry Jones temporary seating there.
Yeah. So, you're talking, this really affects about 30,000 fans.
But I know
so the other 52,000 should be able to park around the stadium, and it's not going to be an issue. So, you're talking about affecting 30,000 fans. And I don't know. I know on game day, the game I did at MetLife Stadium back in August. we had a parking pass, and Jack and I kind of talked our way through. And we got a great space. All right, so, but I don't recall cabs and limos and things like that, but that's off the top of my head. I may be absolutely wrong about that. And I don't recall a lot of cabs. I mean, limos and cabs, let's see. I know, for example, let's take Jack. Jack does not drive into a Penn State game. Jack Ham goes from the hotel, and he has the hotel drop him off. And they have to drop him off at the corner, a Porter and Curtin, and then he has to walk over. Now, obviously, that's really close, but still, to get to where we are, where we do the pregame show, that is literally on the opposite side of where he gets dropped off. I know every once in a while, if I give up my parking space to family, what has to happen is that they have to, you know, same thing, I have to get dropped off. You don't have a pass to get all the way through. All right? Now, that's a different situation, but they allow you to get to Porter and Curtin, but there's certain, after that, you can't get into a lot without a pass. Now, I can walk from there. He can walk from there. That's you know, and that's how he does it every game. I did not do a drop off at all this year. I drove straight in and parked, and then went in the box, did my deal up there, then went down to the pregame. Jack got dropped off every game, and he has the hotel shuttle do that. Now, you can't do a hotel shuttle for this, as you said. It has to be a bus. I think part of this is this is not a racket. Part of this is just being organizationally strong in security, I think.
Well, and another thing, too, that I think is getting overshadowed, I don't think there's been tailgating since 9/11. I think the NFL had a no-lit flame rule regarding tailgating since September 11th, 01, and that, you know, you definitely won't be able to take up multiple parking spots for you know, tents or anything like that. So I don't necessarily think that this is anything new. I just think that this is something new maybe to fans in this part of the country, because maybe they haven't had the opportunity to go to a Super Bowl as easily as they are now. That's just my theory.
Well, some of the Giants fans have. They've been to, you know, they went to Indianapolis and they went to Arizona. So if there's some Giants fans that have decided they want to see this, they know what the rules are.
No, and I agree with you there, but I think this is, to me, and maybe I'm looking at this wrong, but to me this looks like an average fan Super Bowl, whereas all the Super Bowls that have been before this, in my mind, have not been one for the average fan. Now, I'm not sure that this is. It just has that kind of feel, mainly because it's just in my backyard, we'll say.
I don't think there's any difference between this one and any of the other ones, except that it might be cold.
Well, and for me being the average fan, not going to go fly to a Super Bowl, this is one I don't have to fly to. So this is why I think I think maybe it might be viewed a little bit differently, because a different fan base is going as opposed to the ones that would fly to a game. That's just my thought.
Fly to the game. Why wouldn't Seattle fans fly to the... If Seattle fans have to fly to the... I mean, the fans of each team are going to be...
No,
first of all, the amount of tickets that each team gets... I think each team gets like 1,000 tickets or something like that. Some number. But I think it may be 500 even. Like 500 tickets each for each team, and then the two teams that make it, then you start cobbling together what you can do with it.
I don't know. I just never saw...
Obviously get more than that.
I just never saw, with the exception maybe a few Steeler ones, because Steelers and Cowboys and teams like that have a fan base that goes outside of their own area. I just never seem to see, from a television side, a lot of people that are true fans, like I like to say, true fans at the game, and not there because it's the Super Bowl. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but we've had Tony Knapp on the show, and we're going to bring Tony back again. Okay, most of the tickets go to corporate partners.
Exactly. That's exactly my point.
And that's why the atmosphere in the Super Bowl is the way it is. When you look at the NCAA men's basketball tournament, one of the great things that they did years ago, when they went to, you know, more and more, and it started in 2009, in Detroit, is per a request from CBS, they said, hey, look, we need to get students around the court. We need atmosphere. This is stale. It sounds stale. So what they did was is they designated on the court 2,000 tickets for students, 500 from each school, and they were to get around the court access because they wanted students, real fans, around the court that had a stake in the game. They understand that the corporate nature of these things is leading to a flat sound on TV, which again goes back to what I've talked about before. TV wants desperately to see filled, passionate venues. It looks and sounds better. So even though TV keeps some people at home watching on the 52-inch flat screen in HD and enjoying every second of it in living color, TV is the one that looks out and says, because remember, you just talked about snow in the Eagles game. People, fans loved it. They loved it. They loved watching the snow and then playing in the snow. Well, guess what? You know, TV loved it because they know that the fans were eating it up. And they also know that ambiance means something. Crowd noise means something. And you're right, Super Bowls are flat because it's a corporate crowd with no stake in the game. We'll come back with more. Close it out in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Make it a Hyundai holiday from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Every day will be a fun day and a new Hyundai from SMC. Right now, get the absolute best buy in central Pennsylvania with a brand new Hyundai Sonata Hybrid. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has over 20 Sonatas in stock with up to $5,038 knocked off. You can buy a $27,000 hybrid for only $21,997. Plus, get over 40 miles per gallon. To make it the best Christmas present ever, your new Sonata even has a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. And get this, a lifetime hybrid battery warranty. Imagine a 2013 Hyundai Elantra under the tree. Now imagine 0% financing for 6 full years. That's right, 0% financing on a 2013 Hyundai Elantra. Save $3,240 in interest charges. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has over 80 new Hyundais with huge Hyundai holiday discounts.
They all gotta move.
Make it a Hyundai holiday with Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com.
Missed the beginning of the show, a dramatic moment when Kevin said the NFL backed up his view that it was not a forward lateral.
Thank you very much to the NFL for that. I feel vindication. Or vindicated, as the case may be. Not that it really matters, because it didn't change anything.
Correct, Amanda. Okay, so MetLife Stadium, they'll have the Super Bowl. Now, again, we did put in for Media Day. You're like, wow, really? You guys put in for Media Day? Yeah, we did. Not like we haven't been to big events in this show. Maybe next year we'll take the show to a bowl game. I'll say this, that one thing about Giant Stadium, I will say, or MetLife Stadium, still have to kind of get used to it, MetLife Stadium, is that when you are in MetLife Stadium, you are shocked at how close the seats are to the field. It is an 82,000-seat venue, and the seats are all on top of the field. It's really about as well-constructed as you can ask for. But that usually happens when you have $1.6 billion.
And aren't all the edges like video boards so that they can change the graphics for whatever for whoever's playing there instead of like the tarps that they do, yes, at most stadiums?
Yes, they can. Yes, they can. It's all done electronically. And for example, like take for example when Penn State played Syracuse there, the MetLife emblem when Syracuse had the ball would be orange, and when Penn State had the ball it was blue.
I didn't notice that, but I did notice the change of, you know, all the Syracuse stuff around.
Yeah. All right, that wraps it up today. Don't forget Santa coming up from 6 to 7 tonight. Then it's ball game time here at Consol Energy. Penn State and Duquesne tonight. As the Nittany Lions roll through their non-conference schedule, they need this one to get that eighth win of the year. Can't slip up at this stage. We'll talk to you tomorrow from the friendly confines of the Sunbury Motors studio. Here on News Radio 1070. Okay.